Amen. Well, the Lord has put a message on my heart about love and relationships. 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is love. It's not an emotion that he has, but it's who he is. And Galatians 5:22 lists love as the first fruit of the Spirit. And so love is a fruit, and a fruit only comes from being connected to the vine. And so we have the fruit of love by having a relationship with the Lord. Let's go to Romans 5:5. We don't seem to have anybody to do the transparencies. Yes, we do. On their way. Romans 5:5. And everything I'm going to be doing tonight's in King James, New King James Version, unless I tell you different. But you all have found it, so we'll go ahead and read it. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. How is the love of God? How do we get the love of God? By the Holy Spirit. A lot of times I've heard people say, well, love is a decision. But the agape kind of love, God's kind of love, is a relationship. It's having God. I don't believe people that don't know God can operate in the agape love, because God is love, and God, it says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And by connecting with the Spirit of the Lord is how we can have God's love flowing through our lives. Hallelujah. As we stay full of the Holy Spirit, we become a blessing to people around us instead of a hindrance. Man-influenced thinking says love must be performance-based. But this is very hard on relationships because, lost what I was saying. When it's performance-based, my love depends on my expectation of you. I want you to do certain things, and I'll love you. And this is really hard because my emotions change all the time. And so you don't know how to please me because I change all the time. And so, especially the women, we just like, we change all the time. And if we're trying to please each other emotionally, that would be very difficult. But God's love's unconditional because he is love. When we have his love in our hearts, we honor and respect other people. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love thinks the best of everyone. And, we don't honor people because they're honorable. We honor people because we're honorable. And honor is a condition of the heart. Our heart has an honorable attitude toward other people. And we may not agree with what they're doing or what they say or whatever, but we love them and honor them because they were created in God's image. Hallelujah. They were people for whom Christ died. And so there's going to be an honor there. Honor is a powerful tool in evangelism because we can only have as much influence in other people's life as they respect us. And when we honor them, they learn to respect us and they can receive what we have to say better. Honors the ability to recognize people's individual characteristics and respect their power of choice. When we honor people, it gives them the ability to make better choices. When we honor them, they will make a choice. Wow, they think I can do it. I can do it. I can make the right decisions. Hallelujah. 1 John 3:14 says that we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. When love comes, when we fall in love with God, it just comes naturally to love people. Let's go to Ephesians 5, and we're going to read verse 1 and 2. The first part of 2, it says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has loved us. When we let our recreated spirit rather than our emotions control our actions, we release other people from meeting any expectation on our part. Human love, you know, if I'm going to love you, I expect something back out of you. You know, I have expectations from you. But when we love in God's love is just love. It's unconditional. And I love you no matter what you're doing. And that releases you from any expectations on my part. Hallelujah. Then God's love, which has been poured out in our heart, it can flow out to that person. Hallelujah. And they're better to receive. When I am me-focused, I demand. But when I am spirit-focused, I love. And love gives. John 14:34. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So the world can look at us and they will know we're followers of Christ if we love each other. Our love for each other is the way the world measures us. Matthew 22:37-39. And it's we all know this by heart probably. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second's like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Who's in first place here? God. And then my neighbor and me come in second, kind of equal. And it's like it says, love your neighbor as yourself. So there's the same level of love there. And something interesting, if you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. Almost everyone that is abusive to other people hates themselves. So it's important to have a love for ourselves and forgive ourselves to be able to love other people like we need to. Hallelujah. Loving people doesn't mean that we're supposed to let them manipulate or control us. And that's what people in the world, natural world, call love. You know, and they'll say, you know, they might say, well, if you loved me, you would hide this marijuana for me. Or whatever else. Is that pleasing to God? No. Who's first place in the love line? God is. We please God first. And he's first. He's always first. We can't let people manipulate us. And we're not supposed to try to manipulate or control other people either. Romans 8:14, we all know it. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So first place is loving God and being led by his Spirit. Don't allow what people say or do control you. He who angers you controls you. He who intimidates you and controls you. And we can't let our flesh control us either. If we're bound by criticism or unforgiveness or fear or lust or whatever, that's what's controlling us. And we're not free to flow in the love of God. So we can't let other people or ourselves control us. God is always first. Romans 6:16, let's look at this. It says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. So if we let fear be the one that rules our life, it'll take us toward death. Hallelujah. And God wants us to be full of life. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:27 says, don't give place to the devil. In the Amplified, it says, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. So it's important that we keep our heart clean before the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's kind of a daily thing. We kind of daily need to just set our heart right with God. Hallelujah. Because God loves us. And you know, we live in a dirty world and there's all kinds of stuff coming at us. You know, all kinds of negative attitudes. There's negative things on the TV. You know, we live in a negative world, and it's important that we take time every day to say, okay, God, search my heart. We're going to read Psalms 139, 23 and 24, and I want to read this in the New Living Translation. It's just real good. 139, chapter 139, verse 23, and it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And remember in Philippians, it says, don't be anxious for anything, but take everything to the Lord in prayer. So if we have anxiety or anxious thoughts, you know, we just need to have God look at us. And it says, point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. There's several places in the New Testament where it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And there's certain things that we can do or attitudes that we have that it like grieves the Spirit of the Lord, and it'll just back off. You know, it just kind of back off. And if you're feeling like, where is God? You know, check your heart. Check your heart. Lord, is everything clean in my heart toward you? Hallelujah. 1 Peter 3. 3-9, you King James. Finally, all of you be of one mind, be in unity, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, and be courteous. That's in 1 Peter 3:8-9. And so that's all of this has to do with walking in love. When we treat people right, when we bless other people, the blessing comes back to us. Hallelujah. It says, when you bless other people, that you might be blessed. So what, if we put out good things and if we're a blessing to other people and if we're loving and courteous and tender-hearted and compassionate toward other people, all of those good things will come back to us. Hallelujah. What we throw out there is like a boomerang, and it turns around and it comes back to us. Hallelujah. But God has blessed us to be a blessing. He has poured out his love to us. He's poured out his forgiveness to us so that we can be a blessing to other people. Hallelujah. And instead of fighting back, we love people. And we need communication with each other to live in harmony and peace. We all have different personalities. We all think different. And we say sometimes opposites attract, and that can be very exciting, but it also can be very frustrating when you're different. You know, it's like no two people on the earth, I don't think exactly the same, you know. We're a bunch of snowflakes. We're all different, but we need peaceful communication to be able to get along good together. Our communication should never be accusations. Revelation 12 says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And communication isn't telling somebody else what's wrong with them. Anytime somebody accuses you of something, or when someone accuses us of something, what happens? A wall goes up. You know, it's like when there's accusation, there's a defensiveness that comes up. And it's like the communication is just broken. You can't communicate when you put a wall up. Hallelujah. And so our communication, isn't telling the other person what's wrong with them. It's telling them how we feel. So communication is telling them how we feel. If Calvin tells me, you always do that, in a negative term, I want to say, I never do that. And we both just lied, because I have done it, but I don't always do it. But that's a way we accuse each other. You know, you always do that. You know, we should never say that, because it's a lie. But let me give you some examples of the way that we're supposed to approach one another. And Calvin and I have found ourselves on real treacherous roads before, and where it's just a narrow dirt road, and you know, you can look down 1,000 feet without any, you know, guardrails or anything. And Calvin just has a lot of confidence. He just goes right on down the road. And if I tell him, you always drive so fast on these roads, he is just going to want to put his foot to the pedal and go faster. But if I tell him, sweetheart, these roads really scare me, could you please slow down? And how is he going to respond? So there's a good way to tell each other things. You shouldn't ever tell anyone, you are such a slob. What you should say is, I really need orderly and cleanliness around me. I function better when things are clean and orderly. And that there are ways to say what we want without building a wall up, without accusations. Hallelujah. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And we are the Lord's sheep, and it's important that we hear the voice of the Lord and stay in communication with the Lord. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and Moses was up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments, the children of Israel took their golden earrings off of their ears, and they put them together to make a golden calf to worship instead of worshiping God. And gold is a symbol of the nature of God. And this is saying they took off their individual ability to hear God, and they worshiped a foreign God, a false God. And so it's important that we always guard our own ability to hear the Lord and to communicate with the Lord. God gave ministry gifts to the church to perfect the saints, to edify the body of Christ, but it's important that everyone maintain their personal ability to hear from God. Every born-again Christian needs to fellowship with God himself. The Bereans in Acts 17:11, it said, and these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, because they received the word with readiness of mind, and they searched the scripture to see if these things be so. So it's important it's important to hear the word of the Lord in church, but it's important that every one of us spend time in the word ourselves, because so it becomes real to us, and that we pray and talk to the Lord ourselves. Hallelujah. Ministers are not called to be mediators between God and man. We are called to feed, guard, and guide the flock and reconcile people to fellowship with God. We are called to lead people to a place of fellowship with God, but we're not called to fellowship with God for them. We've had people that would come to us, and they would never go to the Lord themselves. You need to pray about this. This is going on in my life. You need to pray about this. Listen, just a minute here. We'll help you pray, but you need to pray to God about this. You know, we're not made to be mediators between God and man, but we are made, hallelujah, to encourage and bless and pray with you and join in unity with you. But everybody needs their own relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. While we need to be cautious of being controlled by others for their own agenda, there's equal danger in being too independent. You know, some people say, nobody's over me but God. And some people will say, oh, they'll talk about my ministry with an attitude. You know, all ministry gifts are just a flow of God. You know, it's just God throwing through someone to bless someone else. And so we can't be independent or egotistical in our independence. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul compared the church to a relationship between a man and life, and to a body. He said, you know, the church is like a body, and all of the members of the body are connected to one another, and we need one another to function. You know, it's like if our brain isn't working, you know, our body is not going to function whole. Hallelujah. If our feet are cut off, how can we get anywhere? You know, the body is made to function together. And we, you know, none of us are complete in ourselves. Jesus is the head. But we need every member of the body of Christ to function good together. Every part is important. I could take a little tiny pin and I could poke Calvin, and wherever I poked him would be important to him. He would know it. You know, every part is vital to the body, and we need one another to function. And we need to not separate. Sometimes people separate themselves from the body of Christ. And if you cut off a finger and just lay it over there by itself, it's going to rotten. It's going to die and rotten. Just begin to smell bad. It cannot function as a finger if it's separated from the body. It needs the body to do what it was made to do. And so it's important to be part of the body. Hallelujah. Let's go to Ephesians 4:16. We'll read it together. It says, from the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Love always edifies. There's a saying that says, I don't care how much you know unless I know how much you care. You know, some people that know it all, but they don't care about you, how long do you want to stand around listening to them? You know, it's just like, our care for one another is important. Love always completes. It never competes. And, you know, sometimes, and I've seen it in churches before, where people kind of get to competing against each other. You know, that's not how the body operates, in competition. And churches will compete against each other. You know, that's just not right. Love always completes. It never competes. We live in a competitive society, but God's love is not competitive. It's edifying. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to start with verse 1. Wait for this to come up. It says, the elders... which means ministers, the ministers who are among you I exhort. And we're going to drop on down to verse 2 to see what he's saying to the ministers. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for base gain, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And so ministers are not called to be lords over, but they're called to be examples to. And we as believers are called sheep by the Lord, and sheep follow. You know, cattle are driven. When you're doing a cattle drive, you get behind the cattle and drive them. For moving sheep, you get a shepherd, and the sheep follow the shepherd, or they follow the lead sheep. And so sheep are meant to follow. And then we've seen some error in this over the years. You know, some preachers get to thinking they're the dictator. You know, they're the God. And it's not what God wants. God isn't even a dictator. God doesn't make anybody follow him. But he says, he wants everybody to, but he says, whosoever will come. And so God isn't a dictator, and we aren't to be dictators either. There is a healthy and godly submission. In Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about marriage as an analogy of Christ in the church. And we're told to submit to one another. And then the wife is told to submit and adapt herself to her husband. The husband is not told to take authority over his wife, but he is told to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Submission must be voluntary to be submission. To overpower someone else is not submission, but suppression. There's a difference there. When ministers are following the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's the congregation's place to adapt themselves to the direction of the Lord through their leaders. A minister should never use his gift to control and manipulate people, but he does use his authority to guard and guide the sheep. Hallelujah, we're told to protect the sheep. The Lord designed the church to grow together as a family, and a person that's not in a body of believers, in a family of believers, will become deformed. And they can't, you know, there's just only so far they can grow if they're not functioning in a body of believers, because we were made to function as a group, because we need one another to keep growing. Hallelujah. And there's a lot of this around today. You know, people think, well, if I sit and watch TV at home and listen to messages, I'm fine. I don't need a church. But the interaction of the body produces life, and it moves, and it's living. Hallelujah. We function better working together. Hallelujah. We're going to 2 Corinthians 5:14, and we're going to read, and it's just the first part of the verse. We're going to read it in the message, and I'm going to wait for it to come up, because I want us to just take a real strong look at this. It's such a neat word. 2 Corinthians 5:14 in the message. It says, Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love has the first and last word in everything we do. Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love has the first and last word in everything we do. Everything we do, it's the love of God. You know, Bobby has the message he preaches in Mexico, the standard of love. You know, everything should be judged against the standard of love. Love is what it's all about. Hallelujah. The love of God. Hallelujah. And it goes on in this passage to talk about reconciling people to Christ. But we're going to go, we can't talk about love without going to 1 Corinthians 13. And we're going to start in verse 4. And I want that in the Amplified. Hallelujah. It's just so good. And as it comes up, I want us to look at the screen and read it together, because our ears need to hear our mouth saying it, and it'll sink into our heart better. Okay. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. Verse 5, it's not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It's not rude, unmannerly and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Woo. Ow. This is our standard of love. Let's go back to that scripture again. This is our standard. This is our measure. Hallelujah. Love's not conceited. It's not rude. Love never insists on its own way. That's we all know. Hallelujah. Love's not touchy or fretful or resentful. You know, some people you have to be so careful, you know, I have to be so careful around them or they get their feelings hurt. They're touchy, you know, it's like they're wearing barbs. But God's love in us, you know, we belong to God. You know, it's like we're okay. Hallelujah. And love doesn't pay any attention to a wrong done to it. That's our flesh does, you know, and you know, if someone does us something wrong to us, our flesh usually just immediately, how dare they? You know, we just rise up wanting to fight. This is our standard. This is God's standard. Lord, you know, I'm not even going to pay attention to that. I'm going to let it go. And Lord, I'm going to give it to you. You know, if somebody else, you know, if someone else does you wrong, they've got something wrong in their own heart. But when we give it to God, He fights our battles for us. And if we try to fight our battles for ourselves, it just turns into a mess. But when we can give things to God, say, God, okay, this is yours, He fights our battles for us. Hallelujah. And He can fight battles so much better than we can. He can deal with people's heart and change their heart. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go on. Verse 6. Love does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but it rejoices when right and truth prevail. How natural for the flesh it is to be glad when someone we don't like, something bad happens to them. You know, if they're doing wrong, well, serves them right. You know, that's the flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 7. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. And here it is. Love is ever ready to believe the best of every person. That's honor. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. And in verse 8, love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. And we're going to stop there. Love, God's love never, ever, ever fails. The love of God never, ever, ever fails. Never fails. It never fades out. Hallelujah. God's love, you know, love is the most powerful tool that we have. When we love people with God's love, it begins to break down the walls that they've put around their heart. So many people are defensive and put walls up because they've been hurt. You know, people have wounded them and they've built walls around their heart and they're defensive and they don't let anybody in. But God's love, it just can melt those barriers, can just cause those barriers to begin to crumble where people can receive the love of God. Hallelujah. I have just had it in my spirit, in my heart so much. God, I want your love to a greater measure. I want your love. Hallelujah. We're going to Ephesians 3:17, New King James Version. Hallelujah. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Where's our foundation? Is our foundation, our roots, going down into the love of God? Okay, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the width and length and depth and height. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Okay, so love isn't a thing of the intellect. Love is a spirit. Love comes to us from the Holy Spirit. It's beyond our intellect. It's a flowing of the Spirit of God through us. The love is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Which passes knowledge. Love is on a higher level than knowledge or intelligence. Love is on another plane that's different and higher than our reasoning or intellect or knowledge. Hallelujah. And it says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So knowing the love of God fills us with the fullness of God. And it says God is love, and it says God is a spirit. And so when God's spirit fills our heart, his love fills our heart. And if his love fills us up, we can be filled with the fullness of God, because we're just filled with his love, filled with his presence, filled with his spirit. Hallelujah. And I've had a cry in my heart. I've had a cry in my spirit. I guess the cry is, Lord, help me to live from here instead of from here. We live so much of our lives from our intellect or our emotions. And the love of God passes those understanding. It's higher than. And it flows from our spirit. Hallelujah. And I've just been, Lord, help us to live from here, from your spirit, not from our emotions and our intellect and our understanding, you know, because our understanding, you know, sometimes on our understanding, all we see is the dirt and the problems and the trials and the troubles and the messes people get themselves in, and we get frustrated because we don't know how to fix it. We don't know what to do about it, and it's frustrating. But there's not any kind of problem too big for God. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. We just take everything to the Lord. Hallelujah. And love is the standard on which our whole lives are built. I've just got to read a scripture here. It's coming up in my heart. When I'm teaching, I don't like to fight with my glasses, so I print all my notes in 26 size so I can see them without my glasses, and it makes it flow a lot better. So then when I want to actually read something from the Word, I have to go search for my glasses. I'm going to Isaiah 11. Isaiah chapter 11. And this was a prophecy about Jesus, but it also is about us, because the spirit that was upon Jesus is in us. When we ask him to live in our hearts, he's in us. His spirit's here. So we can read this. Verse 2. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And I've been reading a translation once in a while that uses the fear of the Lord as worship, you know, for those that worship the Lord. This kind of fear is really an awe of God, and it's like a worship of God. Hallelujah. And the fear of the Lord, his delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge This is what I wanted us to see. He will not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor hear with the hearing of his ears. God wants us to see through his eyes, to see through the Spirit. We've been trained as people to see what we see with our natural eyes, to hear what we hear with our natural ears. Have you heard this? Have you heard what they've done? Have you heard this? Have you heard that? Have you seen this? But God wants his Spirit to so dwell in us and flow in us that we're not judging about what we see or what we hear with our natural ears or eyes. He wants us to hear it from the Spirit. He wants us to see things through the Spirit's eye. Hallelujah. Somebody can be, you know, the most offensive person can be that way because, you know, they're just torn up and hurt. And the Lord can see inside that person to the cry of their deep heart for help. You know, so sometimes when people are the very most obnoxious and hateful, it's because they're hurting deep inside. And God wants us to not judge after what we see and hear, but see with our spirit eye. See through the eyes of love. Hallelujah. This person really needs the love of God. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you. We ask, Lord, that we be filled with your love, that we be filled with your Spirit, filled with your love to a greater degree. Father, we want to know the height and depth and length and breadth of your love. We want the fullness of God. Oh, and we only get the fullness of God by living in your love. Living in your love, knowing your love, knowing your love and your compassion. Father, when you were moved with compassion, oh, so many things happened. People were healed. The multitudes were fed. Father, when Jesus had compassion on the suffering of the people, things changed. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord that's within us is also the Spirit of power. Hallelujah. It's healing. It's understanding. It's seeing through the eyes of the Spirit. Hallelujah. God gave the gifts of the Spirit on purpose because he knew we needed them. Hallelujah. We need the Spirit of wisdom. We need the Spirit of knowledge. We need discerning of spirits. Sometimes people are acting horrible because they've got a demon that needs to be cast out. And they need deliverance. They need freedom. Hallelujah. And we need that Spirit. God is a Spirit and God is love, and that Spirit, hallelujah, wants to show us things by the Spirit. He wants us to see through his eyes. He wants the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, operating. Oh, and when we're in the Spirit and have the compassion of the Lord, the gifts of healings will flow and the miracles will flow as we care, as we care, as we love. Hallelujah, they will flow. Because it's just like all the wonderful, precious things of the Spirit are all tied up together. Hallelujah. We just need to live from our spirit, man, and not from our own understanding. Lord, we just thank you for taking us to a new heights and new depths. Oh, in your love, Father, take us deeper, take us deeper, take us deeper in your love. Oh, la mahonde ki manoshe. Father, we want your compassion and your love flowing out through us. We want to look at people and see them the way you see them. Oh, ramene ohai elene buande ashaya la raboriando riando. banini indariasho e kalariashe abahone ayashe. When we're walking in Walmart, nia hai, God wants to show us people that are contemplating suicide, and He wants us to go and say, "There's a better way. God loves you. He has a purpose. He has a plan." He karamo me ne ashe lavaramondari ande la ramanai romone ashe en banon konde liria hando riashe en barone ashe en omahai God omahole e alahai. God has a plan and a purpose for every person. And when we begin to see in the spirit, we will see past the surface into God's plan. And as we speak God's plan to them, what His heart is for them and His plans for them, it will stir something deep inside them to draw them toward God's purpose and God's plan. And God's purpose and plans are always to bless, for a future, for a hope. My purposes and my plans are good for you, or they're good. They're tanai oshe. They'll be a blessing. God's way is always to be a blessing. Oh, la kaimendu obashe. Father, we just ask. We just surrender ourselves tonight, Lord. We say, God, here I am. Use me. Here I am. Use me. Here I am. Use me. Let me see people through your eyes. Oh, la benkonaya shedo la mahai. Help me to stop judging after the sight of my own eyes and after the hearing of my own ears. But let me see through your eyes of love. Let me see into people's hearts and lives and have compassion. Oh, la metindo remi kendiayo bonaya lidia she. Lord, we thank you for taking us to new levels and new heights of your love, new depths of your love. Oh, Father, we just are here as candidates wanting you first place in our life. We want to love you with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. And we want to love our neighbor and love ourselves too. Hallelujah, for you're rich and you're wonderful. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody have anything stirring in your heart right now that you want to share, or that you have, if you have a need, we would like to pray with you and agree with you for God's love to cover that need. Yes, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for fruit. We thank you for fruit. We thank you, Lord, for fruit in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the boldness to speak your word. We thank you, Lord, for signs and wonders and miracles to follow us everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, Father, that you go with us with the heart of compassion, that your love and your compassion will flow through us. We just love you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, praise God. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. And I saw something earlier. Calvin and I are leaving in the morning for Delicia's